that there are a few scientists now that claim they have found scientific proof that there is a supernatural being. Oh, I almost stopped my car and worshiped the scientists. My, isn't that a shame? It's 1992, folks. God's been around a long time. And they're just now thinking that there might be a supernatural being somewhere. Now, that's only a few scientists, you know, that rise up on their hind legs and stand strong, you know. Amen. God bless them. Maybe now they'll produce Noah's Ark. Wouldn't that be something if they produced Noah's Ark? Just think of all the people that would put their faith in God. No. They could find Noah's Ark and it wouldn't make any difference. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They can find the Ark and you can take a trip through the Ark and believe it or not believe it, but it wouldn't change your faith one bit. Because we're not saved by seeing, we're saved by believing. Praise the Lord. I like Hebrews 11:3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which do appear were not made of things which are seen. Through faith we understand. Through faith we understand. Through faith we know. Through faith we understand. Through faith we are enlightened. It's faith, my friend. And I'd like to address our Christian school students tonight. I would like to address our Christian school graduates. I would like to address our homeschool students tonight. And our homeschool graduates, those that have completed the prescribed courses so they can get that diploma or that certificate that says they are now graduated from high school. Amen. I'd like to talk to them a little while because you've been in the real world all this time. And one of these days you're going to have to go out in the false world. Did you get that? Right. People have told me, your students are going to have to go out and face the real world someday. I said, no. They're in the real world. They're going to have to go out and face a false world, a lying world, an untrue world, a hypocritical world. You're in the real world right now. Brother and sister, young person, you're in the real world right now. Hallelujah. When you lift your hands to God, when you leap for joy, when you shout unto God with a voice of triumph, you're in the real world. That's the real world. That's what's going to last forever and ever. Praise the Lord. All the rest of this is going to vanish and pass away. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'll tell you something. When you get out there in the false world, you're going to meet up with opposition. You're going to meet up with people that don't believe in God. In fact, you'll meet up with more people probably that believe in evolution than believe in creation. And I'm very bold, and I like being bold, and God gives me that boldness because I am not an evolutionist. There isn't one cell in my body that sympathizes with that doctrine. I am a creationist. I believe that God said in the beginning He created the heavens and the earth. Amen. Evolution is a lie. Evolution is a lie. It's a destroying lie. It's a soul-destroying lie. And that's what I aim to prove tonight. Praise God. Praise God. We have too many people today that cozy up to that doctrine of evolution. I had a lady come into my former place of employment, and she was an educated person. She was a school teacher. And she said that when we got in discussion, I tried to witness to everybody that came through the doors, and we got in discussion about God, and she said, I believe in evolution and creation. I said, you cannot believe in evolution and creation. You either believe God or you don't believe God. God said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens and the earth, and it wasn't an evolutionary thing. It didn't take multi-hundreds of years or multi-thousands of years to create anything. He spoke it into existence. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love what I believe. Yeah. I am in love with what I believe. Because I believe the truth. Yes. And I thank God for the truth tonight. Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let me just have some... enjoy myself tonight a little bit here. And I hope that our young people are listening real closely, because I think I'll say some things that will help them, undergird them, establish them, strengthen them. And I have a whole lot more to say than what I have time to say tonight. But these things are dear and near to my heart because I love talking to people. I love going to museums. I love seeing these fabricated dinosaurs and animals and so on. I love getting into discussions with these people. I love it. I just love it. I am somebody said in hog heaven, you know, when you're doing that. Just there's seventh heaven or something. But let's just talk about the Environmental Protection Agency for just a minute. The Environmental Protection Agency. You know, they've caused us a lot of tax dollars. You know that multi-millions, maybe billions, I don't know, of tax dollars. And you read about them in the Reader's Digest, and the Reader's Digest just had this to say about it, and still it seems like they march on. But I wonder something. So many people believe in evolution. Why does the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, why are they so concerned about pollution in the world? And I'll zero in on one pollution tonight, noise pollution. Noise pollution. How many know what noise pollution is? You know what that is. That's just too much racket going on, and your ears can be damaged from it, and you can end up having a problem in later life, a hearing problem, and so on. They call that noise pollution, and the EPA is real concerned about it, and so they are making laws for industries to keep. They have to put, you see them at the airport out there, they got these earphones on, they're trying to keep the noise off. And I got to laughing with holy laughter the other day. Now, maybe it's not so funny to you, but I really enjoyed it. I just thought, why are they so worried about protecting ears? If they believe in evolution, the noise will eventually give us stronger ears. Because we'll evolve them. Is that right? Isn't that their theory? Isn't that what they believe? They don't believe what they believe. Or what they say they believe. They don't tell the truth. How many got that? They think they got it. Okay, good. So, don't worry about protecting your ears. Just evolve ears that can handle more noise. You know, and I don't want to go into all the details about all that, but we probably have some here tonight that could give you some real information on that. And I often wondered, why the atheists, why the evolutionists struggle so hard? They struggle so laboriously to prove that the earth is aged, that the earth is old, that it's ancient. It's not 6,000 years old. It's got to be 7 or more, you know. It can't be 6 because that might line up with the scripture. And we have rejected the scripture. That's their attitude. So they struggle to prove that this earth is millions or so many years old. But the thing is, the evolutionists don't agree among themselves on how old it is. They're pretty harmonious. They're within a couple hundred million years of each, you know, or something. That's not really close, is it? I don't think it is. I love to talk to evolutionists. I really do. I love to talk to atheists. I really do. Brian Wiseman was an atheist, and we brought him to Jesus Christ. He's in glory now, waiting for me and a whole bunch of others. Hallelujah. Oh, are we going to have a time when we get over yonder? But let me just read a couple of passages tonight. 2 Peter 3:3. Listen to this. I wonder, when they try so hard to prove that this earth is old, if it doesn't make them feel safe. See, if it's a young earth, like Dr. Henry Morris proves, if it's a young earth, then maybe there's a fire coming. Then maybe there was a flood. Then maybe there is a judgment day. Listen to it. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. My friend, what Peter is saying here is they are ignorant. All things have not continued as they were from the creation. There has been a disruption. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I think if they can believe that the earth is so old they'll be dead and gone unless they discover eternal life through science, you know, which they're about to promise us, I suppose. I don't know. I don't know how they think. I don't know how they think. When you don't have God in your thinking, you don't know how to think. You think, you can't think right. He turned your switch off. You can't think rationally, right, logically. It just, they don't have it. We've got it tonight. If you have faith, that is. If you have faith tonight, you are the most blessed person in the world. All the unbelievers with their untold millions couldn't compare to your faith. Believe me, believe me. Well, then they'll tell you, you know, that that they have discovered this and they have discovered that, and now we have some more proof to add to the proof we already have that doesn't prove anything. Not yet. And they're always reaching out for that next proof that's going to prove what we can't prove without that proof that we can't find. They're struggling. They're struggling so hard. And somebody said to me, they have discovered. I said, they haven't discovered anything. They haven't discovered anything about creation. The Bible says in Romans 1, God hath showed it unto them. God already showed it to them, and they rejected it. God showed it to them, they rejected it. He gave them a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Okay? It is essential to believe in creation. It is essential. Now, I personally believe you cannot be saved if you don't believe in creation. Before I'm done, I hope you see it. I personally believe that you cannot be saved unless you are creationist. That world's pretty foxy out there. But go tell that fox. That world's pretty foxy out there. If they can get you to doubt creation, they can get you to doubt Moses. They can get you to doubt the book of Genesis. They can get you to doubt the flood. They can get you to doubt Sodom and Gomorrah and its destruction. They can get you to doubt that Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt. See, if they can just get you to believe evolution, there is a chain of things that they've got you on. They've got you on it. The trap is set for you right there. Yes. So, I say it's essential to denounce evolution. It's essential to believe in creation. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How many of you are new creatures in Christ? How long did it take for you to evolve into that new creature? Tell me somebody. How long did it take for God to evolve you into a new creature? Multi-centuries? Multi-millenniums? Millions or billions or whatever of years? How long did it take God to make a new creature out of you? How long did it take God to create the heavens and the earth? We have the record. We have the record. Now, it seems to me, if God created one thing, then he created another thing, and one thing didn't take... Why should one thing take longer than the other thing? I'm not talking about 7 days, 6 days, and a few minutes or whatever. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the principle of the thing here. Sure. I'll tell you what it says, though, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, verse 2. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What happened? That's what happened in the old creation, in the first creation, in the earth's creation. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and things started happening. Not evolving, but just happening right there on the spot. It started to happen. God created the heavens and the earth. Whenever he spoke, it was. Whenever he formed it, there it was. He breathed into man the breath into his nostrils, the breath of life. There it was. Man became a living soul. Praise the Lord. And so the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God was creating. What happens when He's recreating, when He's creating us, making new creatures out of us? The Spirit of God moves. I've seen it happen. I saw it happen with the Bible right here. That's one of the ladies I remember. She's kneeling down here at the altar, and all of a sudden, people might have been milling around a little bit, and all of a sudden, every head, every neck, every eyeball turns this way. Because they knew the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the bondholders. Praise the Lord. And they were made new creatures. New creatures in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What about Revelation 21:5 when God says, "Behold," that means give me your attention, special attention. "Behold, I make all things new." Now, if it didn't take God millions, give or take a couple hundred millions, of years to evolve you into a Christian, do you think that it's going to take God, when He makes the new heavens and the new earth, some more millions and billions of years to evolve a new heaven and a new earth? Ridiculous! It is totally, absolutely, abnormally, subnormally ridiculous. It is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard, because I'm a believer. I am a bona fide believer. Praise the Lord. But you know what we have today? We have educated unbelievers who scoff. Educated unbelievers who scoff at the Word of God. And if they can get you to believe in evolution, they can get you to believe in a whole lot of other lies that they are telling and truths that they refuse to believe. I love to talk to these people. One of them said to me, "Hey, believer," or "Hey, Tanberg," or "Hey, Reverend," or "Hey, Christian," you know. "Can God make a stone?" Oh, this is supposed to be very intelligent. "Can God make a stone so big that He can't lift it?" Answer that, preacher. Well, I can answer that. That's not hard to answer. The answer is God's not so stupid. God's not that stupid. God doesn't contradict you. Well, that doesn't satisfy our intellect. God isn't a house divided against itself. You got it? Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand. God's not divided against itself, Himself. He's not going to make a rock so big He can't lift it. Amen. He doesn't contradict Himself like that. It's foolish man that does things like that, not God. He's too wise for that. The point is, God can make a rock that you can't lift, man. That's what I told him. I said, God can make a rock so big you can't lift it. Then another one came to me and said, "What happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object?" I said, "Well, let's turn to Hebrews 20:12 and find out." Well, it's good to know your Bible, especially Hebrews. Hallelujah. Here's my answer. What happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object? All you have to do is think of God, because God is an irresistible force and God is an immovable object. God is both. He's in harmony with Himself. Hallelujah. We're the disharmonious ones. God's in harmony with Himself. Listen to it. Hebrews 12, verse 25. "See that ye refuse not an irresistible force. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken." Hallelujah. You can call it what you want, irresistible force or immovable object, but there it is. Those things which cannot be shaken. "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved." Immovable object. Devil, you go ahead and try to destroy the church. You will flunk the test. You will fail. You cannot destroy the church. Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." God Almighty said, "I'll speak and it'll come to pass." Who's going to stop me? Amen. I am in I am an immovable object, and I am an irresistible force. So what happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object? They've already met. They've already met. God and God. God met God. God knows himself. You got it? Hallelujah. For our which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This world demands proof. They demand proof. They want to know, oh, so you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale? I said, no, I don't believe that. Oh, you don't? Oh, you're on our side then? No, I said, that Greek word whale, you know, it's a great fish. That's what the Old Testament says. Jonah 1, chapter 1, the last verse in the chapter, verse 17 says, now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And I am of the firm belief that if the Lord prepared a bluegill, it could swallow Jonah. If the Lord prepared it. Now, if the Lord prepared an apartment, you know, with a sun tanning lamp down there, he could have done that. But Noah got all tangled up in the weeds in the whale's belly, in the big fish belly, you know. You know that. The Bible says that. Okay. But anyway, the world demands proof. I'm going to make a point. I hope you get it tonight. The world demands proof. And they talk about the whale couldn't swallow Jonah. And I said it could too. If God prepared it, it can do what God prepared it to do. How many have enough faith to believe that? Yeah. Amen. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord for being able to do that?
Praise the Lord.
Now, here's a point. Jesus validated that scoffed at Old Testament story. Jesus validated it. Jesus said, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Okay, there you have it. Jesus validated that hard to believe, scoffed at by educated unbelievers story in the Old Testament. Okay. The flood. You don't really believe in a universal flood. You don't really believe. We have no scientific proof of that. You know, now, yeah, there have been floods now and then here and there. Yeah, there probably was a great flood over in that area of the world one time. But here again, you know, Jesus validated that story that Moses wrote about. The flood. The worldwide flood. Jesus validated it. He said they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Isn't that something? That Jesus Christ would validate the story of Jonah, he would validate the story of the flood, and he validated the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. He says there rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And again, we read about, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. What about Lot's wife? She looked back. She turned to a pillar of salt. And they argue with it. I even heard a preacher try to prove that the atmosphere was such over in Sodom and near Sodom and Gomorrah that it is actually possible for somebody to turn to a pillar of salt. I thought, what a boring sermon. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. She turned to a pillar of salt. Don't try to figure out how she turned to a pillar of salt. Just believe it. Jesus validated that story that Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt. Praise the Lord. And creation, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and along come the evolutionists and the atheists and the skeptics and the infidels and the unbelievers. But Jesus validated it. He talked about marriage and he said, have you never read? He which made them from the beginning, made them male and female. Hey, please understand this. It'll save you a lot of trouble when you meet up with these educated unbelievers. So, here we have it. Jesus validated the hard-to-believe story of Jonah, the flood story, Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction story, Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt, and creation. He validated those very things that we now are being challenged over by educated unbelievers. Hey, if anybody wants to believe that nonsense, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. If you want to believe that those atheist evolutionists are right, they are so wrong. My point is that Jesus verified what the educated unbelievers scoff at. He verified it. He confirmed it. So, I have a point to make. This is the big question. The big question is not whether we believe the book of Genesis to be the Word of God. Now, don't get me wrong, we do believe it, and it's important that we believe it. It's all important that we believe it. But let me get to the root. Let me get to the primary reason here. The big question is not whether we believe that the book of Genesis is to be the Word of God, but do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That's what it all falls back on. Are you thinking with me?
Yes.
It might be a little deep, I don't know. But if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and if Jesus verified, confirmed all of those hard to believe Old Testament stories, then you will automatically believe the flood story. You believe the Sodom and Gomorrah story. You believe the creation story. You believe everything that Moses wrote because Jesus verified. The big question, not whether you believe the book of Genesis to be the Word of God, but whether you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, because if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you will believe the other stories that he verified. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to turn to the book of Revelation now and show you the scene in heaven. The scene in heaven. There's not an evolutionist there. Not one. Not even a half of one. Not an evolutionist in heaven. You won't read it anywhere in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, but you will read creationists in there. And that's all you read. Listen to it now. Am I stepping on anybody's toes? If I am, boy, they sure need it. They sure enough need it. All right. Listen to Genesis 4:9. For thou hast created. Everybody that's in heaven is acknowledging God as the Creator.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 5. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sung, this is the redeemed, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, has made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. Okay, have you got the story? Creationists and redeemed people. That's who's in heaven. That's who's worshiping in heaven forever and ever. That's who is saved. Those that were created and fell with Adam, in Adam, when Adam fell, you know, and they needed redemption. Who's in heaven? People that were created and fell and redeemed from the fall. That's what heaven's made of.
Amen.
Not just, you got to be created to be redeemed. And the Bible tells us the creation story, created, fall, and redeemed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, now. The sad part of this is, and there was a broken-hearted prophet that expressed it this way. Isaiah 53:1, he said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed the Old Testament report? Who hath believed our report? He was a prophet. Who hath believed the prophet's report? There aren't many. There aren't many. Who hath believed the prophet's report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Then it talks about the report of Jesus. Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And everywhere you turn, every page you turn, they are they which testify of me. The book of Hebrews says, in the volume of the book it is written of me. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. It is written of me. This Bible is about a man. There was nothing created that Jesus Christ didn't create. He's the Creator, and the great Creator became our Redeemer. We've been created, folks. We've been redeemed. And if you want to fit into this scene in heaven, you've got to be a creationist, and you've got to be a believer. You've got to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In my book, that's all there is to it. And again, a rejected Christ, Jesus the Lord, standing on this earth. Luke 18:8. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" I've said this before, and I'd like to scream it again. Lord, you will find faith on the earth, because I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I can't stop believing. I'm too knowledgeable. I'm too convinced. I've got too much faith. Praise the Lord. The atheists don't affect me, because I have more faith than they have unbelief. I have more faith than they have unbelief. So they don't perturb me. They don't disturb me. They don't shake me. They don't move me. And that's exactly what every one of us need. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Could we stand? And I just want to make one more point while you're standing. To believe in evolution is to disbelieve in Jesus Christ. How many believers do we still have here today? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We ought to confess our faith right here now, as we worship Him in a chorus or two before we dismiss. I want to tell you something, and I can prove this to you. You know what's happening right now in heaven? Over this sermon, over this preaching, do you know what's happening right now in heaven with regard to your faith? If you're believing with me tonight, you are rejoicing the heart of God. You are causing God to rejoice. Yes. If you have faith, you are pleasing God right now. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So obviously with faith, we please Him. Just think, you that listened tonight, you that paid attention, you that let the Word of God affect you, you that came already believing, you that are going away believing, you that are standing here right now believing, not bored, but believing, you are rejoicing the heart of God. You are pleasing to Him. God's all-seeing eye, all-searching eye is looking down on this congregation tonight, and He's seeing your faith. Just like when Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside, and Jesus walked by. And he heard about Jesus walking by. And he said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." They tried to stop him, but too late. Too late, friends, too late. The faith had already gone out and touched the heart of Jesus and rejoiced his heart. And Jesus called Bartimaeus to him, and he threw away his blind man's coat, and he ran up to Jesus. Jesus said, "What shall I do for you?" It was obvious what he should do for him. He wanted him to express himself. Praise the Lord. "Oh, that I might see. You're healed." Praise God. Jesus walked under a tree one time. Maybe nobody was looking up. There's a little guy perched up there called Zacchaeus. And Jesus stopped under the tree. You know what stopped him? Faith. 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 And Jesus stopped. "I feel faith." He looked up. There he was. A man with faith. And Jesus went to his house and saved his soul from hell that very day. And Jesus is here right now. And he'll stop right at your chair when he sees your faith. He'll bless you tonight. Praise God. When you lift your hands to him and your heart to him tonight, he'll bless you when he sees and feels your faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord. blessed all things created. Thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure, they are created.
His spirit. The Lord gave this chorus to my wife, and I.